So today we'll be looking in the book of James in chapter 4. We'll read the first 10 verses. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask, and you do not receive, because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts to hear your word. Open my heart to preach. Lord, may we hear your truth, for your word is truth. Amen. So the book of James is written by, well, James, half-brother of Jesus Christ, but also a leader in the Church of Jerusalem. And so he wrote this letter to the Christian church. Chapter 1 says he wrote it to the 12 tribes of the dispersion. So that's the Christian church outside of Israel. Leading up to this, the theme of the book of James is that a Christian born again through faith in Jesus Christ would do good things. Now, at first glance in James, it can be easy to see that James is saying, do good works and you will be saved. That's not what he's saying. He's merely saying and giving practical advice, saying that if you're a born-again Christian, you should be evident in the way you live your life. In this chapter, he addresses the issue of conflict among Christians, which, continuing the theme in the book, conflict and fighting among Christians, it's not a very appropriate behavior to a man born again in Jesus Christ. So he mentions quarrels and wars. Other translations, or quarrels and fights, I'm sorry, other translations, instead of quarrels, they use the word war. And so you can think of quarrels as, imagine like a nation at war and nations campaigning against each other, and there's overall state of tension. And then fights, imagine the fight as the smaller battles during the war where the conflict just shows and where the harm is done. So we mentioned quarrels and fights, but that's not the main issue stated in this chapter. James asks, he says, what causes quarrels and fights? Is it not that your passions are at war within you? So wars and quarrels against other Christians, ultimately, the source of that is inside of your own heart. The Christian heart battles between worldly passions and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Worldly passions being the desires of our flesh that focus on worldly possessions or selfish practices rather than the things of God. In Galatians 5:17, we read, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these two are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." All right, so our own flesh, it fights against us to keep us from doing God's will. As a born-again Christian, we seek to serve God and keep His commandments. But our own flesh is constantly at war against us, and it's very easy to give in and sometimes not even realize you're giving into that. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions, is not from the Father of the world." Desires of the flesh being things that are satisfying our physical body. So this can be food or drink, which can lead to drunkenness or gluttony, or also sexual acts would lead to sexual immorality, or anything that satisfies your physical body. Desires of the eyes, things that are things you like to look at, all right, and they interest your mind. Pride in possessions, seeking status in your worldly possessions. In verse 2, we read, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." So we also have this issue with covetousness. So not just being passionate about worldly things and seeking after them, but also seeking after things that other people have. All right, and sometimes that's their lifestyle. Sometimes it's their family if they have a nice family. Sometimes it's the good friends they have. Sometimes it's the things they own. And sometimes you can even be jealous of blessings that God has given other Christians that you don't see in your own life. And James uses the word murder. This doesn't necessarily refer to physical murder. We read in the Bible that if you hate or have anger toward your brother, you're also guilty of murder. So here we have an image where Christians have allowed themselves to be controlled by their worldly desires to the point where they hate and may even cause harm to their brothers and sisters in Christ. They become greedy, but they can't have what their brother has, so they wage war against him. So they become jealous. All right, and another thing we deal with is pride. All right, pride that feeds conflict is selfish. So we see pride in the Bible, and it's not all in a negative way. So Paul talks about boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ, and this is good pride. He talks about boasting in the work God has done in his life through Christ. All right, this is Christ-led, and it gives attention to God, not to oneself. The pride that causes the issue is selfish pride. When you think highly of your own accomplishments and you look at yourself and say, "Look what I've done. I've done pretty good." All right, and a pride person, they can have a hard time asking for help if they ask at all. And they're if you've heard the term, they're on a high horse. You know, it kind of just shows in their lives the way they act and treat people. All right. And James says, "You ask and don't have." No, you do not have because you do not ask. Pride can get in the way of asking God for help. And there are many things in life where we just say, "Hey, I've got this." And you see that a lot in the workplace. You're like, "Okay, I'm at work and I'm going to do my job and You know, that's just what I do. And when I go home, then I'll see God again. And sometimes you don't stop and think, maybe I should be asking God to be with me at work. Or maybe I should be asking God to be with me in other areas of my life. Okay? And so their pride can get in the way of asking God to provide the gifts that He promised to us, to those who ask. All right, so some consequences of worldliness. We'll keep reading. Verse 3. You ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So, and in the outline it says unanswered prayer. So ultimately all prayer is answered, and sometimes the answer is just no. And you may not realize that because you're asking for things that your heart wants and God says no. And instead of listening to the answer and learning from it, we just get even more upset and like, well, why can't I have what my neighbor has? Well, why can't I have a better job? Why can't I get a promotion? Why can't I have a nice car? Why can't I have good friends? Okay, and maybe like spiritual gifts, like, well, why can't I be good at speaking, or why can't, like, anything. So, the thing is, you have to think about why you're asking. What is the motive of your heart? And if the motive is to satisfy your worldly desires, then God's not going to give you what you're asking, because worldly passions and pride, they blind us from knowing what we really need. We need to truly trust God and believe that He will provide for what we need, even when we don't know what that is. And if we're asking based on selfish desires, because we want something from God that we think we want, that's not the right attitude to go about it. So James continues, you adulterous people, do you not know that your friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So our worldly passions, when you give into them, you start to look like the world and not like God. You start to act and live your life in a way that isn't pleasing to God. And when you do that, you become a friend of the world. So we're called to be sojourners and strangers in this world. And you think of a stranger, they pass through a town, but they're not picking up their customs. They're just coming through, they're getting what they need, and they're leaving. All right? We're here, and we're called on earth to be the salt of the earth, to shine God's light. We're not here to become like the earth. And when we seek to fulfill our worldly pleasures, we become hostile toward God. When we knowingly go and seek after the things of earth, we become God's enemy. Verse 5, or do you not suppose, it's no purpose, Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit he has made to dwell within us. James uses some really strong words. He uses murder, which, you know, extreme hate and maybe even physical hurt towards someone. And then he calls these Christians adulterous people. Okay, you normally think of adultery in a marriage, where one of the people in the marriage is just unfaithful, and they seek after other things, looking for pleasures that just can never be fulfilled. And the church is the bride of Christ. And when we're unfaithful to God, we're committing adultery against Him, okay? And when we seek after other things of the world and put them before God, that's idolatry. And this is saying, you become an enemy of God when you do that, and you can't have both. If you can't seek after other gods and also seek after the true God. So he yearns jealously for the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. So even though we're searching after worldly things, God jealously wants us back. Okay? And this isn't jealousy like the human jealousy where we start to hate our neighbor because we're jealous. This is jealousy because God knows what's best for us. He's created a perfect plan, and He doesn't want to see us hurt. And He wants you to come away from the passions of the world and stop hurting yourself, come back to Him. And yet over and over, we choose the world. Over and over, we choose to be unfaithful. But He gives us more grace. All right. So we think about our own hearts and how, you know, even when you seek to do God's will, it feels like everything's against you. The world wants to influence you to be like them. Your own flesh is fighting against the Holy Spirit. But still, God wants to give grace. Still, God wants to give you blessings. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So, when we get into this state where we have let our worldly desires consume our life, how do we get back? Well, James continues and says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. All right. So you think about resisting something. If you think about your home and the earthly desires and the earthly possessions you have, imagine someone breaks into your home and tries to take it, or someone tries to come into your life and take something away. I think most of us are going to meet that person with resistance and say, no, this is mine, don't take it. All right? And yet, often, we care more about resisting and protecting our earthly lives than our spiritual lives. And if we can resist someone trying to take away our earthly possessions, why shouldn't we resist someone trying to take away our relationship with God? So, how do we submit to God's grace? We resist the devil, we draw near to God. James says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. All right, so how do we do that? First, you cleanse your hands. If you think about Old Testament times, when the high priest did sacrifices, they would wash their hands before performing the rituals. Okay, so we have an image of outward cleanliness, but really, we need to prepare our bodies to come before the Lord. And so cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The The goal is to overcome this double-mindedness we have, where we often think, I can have God, but I'm still going to do the secret thing that no one knows about. And I'm still going to put this activity over God because I like it better. I mean, the world can be very tempting and very enticing, and it can look really fun. All right? But those things, they never satisfy the desires that your soul has for them. You seek after worldly things, and you're never satisfied. You say, just one more time, and then I'll be done. But your desire for them grows more the more you seek them. It's never satisfied. James says, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Now, he's not saying we can never laugh. He's not saying we can never be happy. But he's telling us how our earthly possessions, it's only temporary joy, and one day they will turn to gloom. And they will turn to mourning if you seek them and you put them in control of your life. So James says, you know they're going to turn to mourning, so mourn for them now and repent. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So we need to get rid of pride. And we need to come before God humble. And we need to seek after God for wisdom. So I think of seeking after worldly things and being humble, and it just reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. And in the story, we see a man who says to his father, give me my inheritance. And he gets his share, and he takes what he was given, and he squanders it on worldly desires. And he seeks after the world, and he has a great time, right? But after a while, that comes to an end, and he loses everything he has, and he ends up feeding pigs, and he is starving. And it's at that point where that's the point our hearts need to be at. We need to be in that state of humbleness where we know we're starving and we've lost everything and we just need to return to God. So the prodigal son, he returns to his father. He said it'd be better to be a servant in his house because at least I'd be fed. I'm not worthy to be his son. Okay, and we aren't worthy to be God's son. When we have a choice between God and the world, a lot of the time we still choose the world. And we choose to squander the gifts we've been given, and squander and waste the time we've been given. And rather than influence the world, the world sees us as friends. And when the world sees us as friends, and they look at us, and we say, hey, turn to Christ, turn to God, they have no they see no reason to turn because they look at our lives and see exactly what they're already doing. So, but God has grace, and God sees you when you're humble. And God knows that you can't do it right. And so just like the prodigal son, he returned home and his father ran out to meet him, took him in his arms, and rejoiced, and threw a banquet, and put clothes on his son and shoes on his feet, and said, "My son has come home." When we're in that state of humbleness, when we know we can't achieve a relationship with God without Him, the works we do will always fail. We need His love because we can only do good works through His Holy Spirit. But when we come before God humble and say, "God, I'm not worthy," and you truly know you're not worthy, God exalts you. James says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, He exalts you." He takes you in His arms, He puts clothes on, He puts shoes on your feet, and He rejoices and He says, "My son has come home." And this is the state we need to be in every day. All right, because we fail every day, and we may not know it, but we need to daily be humble before our God and acknowledge that we need Him, and we daily need Him to forgive us, so that we may again be in fellowship with Him. Let's pray. Lord, we are murderers and adulterers, and we choose the world day in and day out. And Lord, you still show grace. Lord, help us seek your face. Help us in our own internal war against your spirit, that we may desire and renew our desire to do your will and produce your good fruits. And Lord, when we don't know what to pray or don't know what to ask for, teach us to pray. Amen.